right, let's pray the chaplet. Do you know what today is? Anybody have any idea what today is? On this day, on September the 13th, in the year of our Lord, 1935, the Lord revealed to St. Faustina this great chaplet of Divine Mercy. It's the anniversary of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I love this prayer. I don't think there's a better day to pray it. This is one of the great treasures, I believe, of the church, one of the great treasures that heaven has given to us. Here, you have the resurrected Lord appearing to a nun, right? Telling her to paint an image according to what she sees, telling her to record all the messages he's given to her. And St. Faustina had an extraordinary experience. I won't go into it right now. I'll share more of it when we're done praying. So if you're not familiar with the chaplet, I wrote about it in my book. But she had an experience where she saw what she described as the executor of God's wrath. It was an angel. He was set on a mission to destroy a city. Why? Because of its sin, because of its rejection of God, right? There was punishment. That's what she was told. Punishment was deserved for the sins of those people. This is a prayer that holds back the hand of God. I think we need to pray this prayer today for our country. This is a prayer that holds back God's justice and we receive mercy instead. I think we need to pray it for our own sins, for the way that you and I so often offend our merciful Father, who is all good and all loving and deserving of all of our love, right? This is the prayer. Faustina had this great Trinitarian experience. I won't go into it now. We'll talk about it after the prayer, but this is a prayer that the Lord also gave extraordinary promises to. Extraordinary promises. And, you know, I recite them with you just about every day. You know, today's a day I think we should turn to the Lord, thanking him for this prayer and then asking him for anything that you want. Anything you want. The Lord told her, you know, daughter, help me save souls, right? This is the prayer he wanted her to save souls with. She went to many people who were dying, right? She warded off storms. She called on rain. We saw miracle after miracle. I write in my book on Divine Mercy about many miracles of divine protection that have taken place by those who have turned to this prayer. And you've seen it here as we pray, right? How many people have been kidnapped or missing who have been rescued or found? How many cancerous tumors that were inoperable have vanished and doctors were speechless? And how many marriages have been reconciled? How many court cases somehow have gotten dismissed? How many financial blessings through God's providence have taken place when we gather together here and we pray this powerful prayer of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy? I mean, there are too many for me to count. They really are. They're way, way too many to count. This is a prayer that saves souls. It's a prayer that brings about conversion. It's a prayer that moves the heart of God. It moves the heart of God. I love this prayer. I've prayed multiple chaplets today already, and I'm going to pray even more. The Lord says, I will grant to souls who say this chaplet. He says, great grace. The very depths of my tender mercy are stirred for those who pray this prayer, who pray this chaplet. This should be a daily exercise for all of us. I'm glad you join me every day. I know it is for you and it is for me. This is an extraordinary prayer. Great graces are yours for the taking. The Lord said, it pleases me to grant everything you ask of me by saying this prayer. That's why I often say, I believe addictions can be broken. I do. I believe that wayward child of yours can return to God and fall deeply in love with him. That's what this prayer can do. I believe that situation is so impossible right now. There's no way out. The debt, the court case, the marriage can all be remedied. I believe this prayer moves the heart of God. It brings about conversion. He told St. Faustina, he says, even if a sinner were most hardened, even if they were to recite this prayer only once, they would receive the grace of my infinite mercy. If you know somebody who's dying, and we should be praying this today, with World Trade Towers 20 years ago when those planes flew into them, and my wife called me, I was in Annetta Bay and state of Pennsylvania working on a film at the time. I left the studio after watching the second tower collapse, and we went home and we got on our knees while the news coverage was underway. We prayed chaplet after chaplet. Why? Because the Lord says, when you pray this chaplet, right, for the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. You know, this is a prayer for the sick. It's a prayer for the dying. As I saw people jumping from buildings, I saw innocent people losing their lives. Whenever I see natural calamity, this is the prayer I turn to. So, you know, let's pray it today. Let's pray it for you. Let's pray it in thanksgiving for this great gift that the Lord has given us. Pray right now for that miracle that you need in your life. And I'll tell you what, when we're done praying today, I'll share the story of the chaplet with you. We'll give you a little background. I'll talk about some of the great miracles that taken place. And if you have a miracle, or if you prayed this by the bedside of somebody who is sick and dying, so often they're tormented because it's Satan's last chance to get them, right? His last opportunity to get that soul for all of eternity. I know so many people have prayed this, and a great peace and calm has come over the dying. Faustina had that encounter many, many times. So let's pray right now. We'll pray the chaplet for you and for your intentions. And I'll continue to pray for you throughout the day. I promise you that, okay? Because I'm going to pray many chaplets today. It's the day for this extraordinary prayer. September 13, 1935, the anniversary of the Great Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I'm in the studio today with Chris Flood, one of my longtime colleagues here. Chris, always good to have you here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Anything you want to lift up or pray for as we begin today?
I would like to pray for my sister Annette, who continues to suffer with painful chronic health issues, that she could find some answers and relief from her pain.
So sorry to hear that. We'll certainly pray for that. I also want to pray for the repose of a man named Bob Munoz. He's a close friend of Peter Grandich, a guy who contributes with us on Fridays. He died suddenly on Saturday. Again, we don't know the day or the hour. Very unexpected. And for his friend who brought him the news, that man apparently has cancer. So he has his own death sentence, unless God in his mercy brings about that healing. So let's pray. Lord, I give you everyone who's now about to unite with me, whether they get on the air, whether they write to me, or whether they're just praying with me. And I ask on this day you've given us this treasure for your mercy. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Melissa. She prays with us in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just calling. My cousin's wife has been in the ICU for going on 8 weeks now, and she has COVID and has been intubated for 8 weeks.
Wow.
And I'm just praying for a miracle for her and for her children, her husband, and my aunt, who's really worried and concerned. And also for, I have a few other things, my brother's marriage, his wife wants a divorce, and just for a miracle for their family and for healing from many traumas. And then also my brother Tim is getting married out of the church this weekend. For him to believe in Jesus, and just a miracle healing. Also, I have ongoing health issues, food allergies, and eat the same things over and over, and just miss out on a lot of fun and don't feel good.
I'm sorry.
And I know it sounds vain, but I am losing my hair really bad still, and
you know what, Melissa?
Can't even just find a shampoo that works for me, and I just react to everything. And
well,
and struggle with mental illness too.
Let's do this. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for miracle today. I mean it. This is the day. Yeah. I really feel that there's going to be extraordinary graces that are going to flow today on the anniversary
Thank
of this
you.
Great chaplet. And it's not vain. Honestly, I would be the same way if I was losing my hair. Whether you're a man or a woman, to lose your hair is a tough thing. Lord, I give you all of Melissa's intention. There were many. Those with health problems, especially those in ICU or in critical care right now. I want to pray for those who provide that care and that mercy, too. And for everything that she just voiced. But I pray for her in particular. Lord, let her be an example of your great mercy. I bring her to you and ask you to embrace her and to heal her. And I extend to all who are praying the intentions she voiced for those who carry similar crosses. Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Ann is praying with us in New York. New York. Hi, Ann. Good afternoon.
I would like to ask a prayer for my husband and I. We're in danger of losing our jobs for taking the vaccination, and my husband was removed from his position today, and we're just kind of waiting to hear. And we have a young child, and we're trying to do the right thing. So for an end to the virus and end to these mandates.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, and hang in there. You know what? I'm going to be praying for you. And it's, when situation seems impossible, I really believe through prayer and fasting, we can find ways out of these situations that have no way out. Lord told St. Faustina, she wrote this in her diary, I think it's diary entry 294, she said, Lord told her to encourage souls to whom you come in contact with to trust. And when it's difficult like this, that's when we need to trust all the more. She says, trust in my infinite mercy. Because I love souls who have complete confidence in me. I'll do everything for them. So the Lord can remove these obstacles that are in the path of your husband and you. And let's just trust the Lord. Put your confidence in him. Know that he has got something big in store for you, something even better if this door is closed for some reason. But let's just trust. We'll trust in his infinite mercy. We'll put our confidence in him and really stand on his promise that he'll do everything for you. Lord, I pray for all those right now facing job loss who are drowning right now in their debt, those who are facing, you know, jail time and legal conundrums and problems. Lord, I pray for those who just are facing what seem like impossible situations in their life, whether it's health or in their relationship. And I just ask you show yourself in a powerful way that miracles today abound vividly, boldly, as I pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Now, Maggie's monitoring our Twitter. And thank you for following us on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Drew Mariani. You can follow me personally or at Drew Mariani Show and join our conversation right now. Maggie's several intentions that she's going to bring forward as well.
That's so. Right, Drew. Jeanette is asking for prayers for her cousin Mike, who has advanced cancer of liver and lesions on the lung and is in the ICU.
Wow.
So let's pray for Mike. Patty is asking for prayers for the marriage of Kathy and Bob. Let's hope that they get strengthened in their union. Santorum is asking for prayers for her mom's health. Kata is asking for prayers for the healing of her vertigo. Katrina would like to pray for Pope Francis and all of his personal intentions today. Maritessa is praying for her daughter Priscilla, who is fearful for her safety and for her kids today. Maria is asking for prayers for priests all around the world, that God protect them and bring them virtue. And I just want to throw out a personal prayer of thanks for a successful cataract surgery for my mom today.
All right. Well, that's a big, big prayer. Thank you very much, Maggie. Oh, yeah, I'll throw out an intention or two, too. There are two people I want to pray for. Matt Dunbar has been a pilot who's been on my program many times, and his wife's going through a real battle right now with her health. And it's a difficult crisis the family's in. I want to pray for his wife, Christine, and for him in particular, and for his whole family. And for Juan Landa, he's a friend, and I've traveled with him many times, and you know, he's been battling COVID. I think he's doing a little bit better now, but I want to pray for him. And everyone who's had businesses affected by COVID, I want to bring them forward. Dr. Tabali, too, just came to mind. Let's sneak Frank in here, too. We'll get his intention on. He's praying with us in Joliet, Illinois. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Drew. First of all, thank you for your ministry. Love your show.
Thank you so much.
I'm praying for my son and my daughter-in-law that hopefully they can reconcile their marriage. They are separated right now, and there's a lot of bad things that have been said and done, and I hope that if it's God's will that they forgive each other and move on with the marriage and take care of my two granddaughters. That's the main cause.
Well, Frank, I'll be praying for them too. I'm sorry. It's got to be difficult. As a grandfather and as a parent, I'm sorry. I think of that, you know, the fact that prayer really is the best weapon that we have. It's the key to God's heart. I say that a lot. And let's just pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for all marriages right now that are going through divorce. I'm going to pray for the children that suffer the collateral damage from that fallout. I'm going to pray for the grandparents and in-laws and everybody else that's also suffering from that. Lord, wherever there's infidelity, wherever there's lack of trust, wherever there's hurt, wherever there's addiction, I just ask your mercy to enter in this moment as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Maria is praying with us in Los Angeles. Maria, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Maria.
My mom is 90 years old, and I just worry about her. I take care of her, and I lost my job, and I get teased for praying all the time and bringing up Divine Mercy with my family, and it breaks my heart because they're not as close, and I just feel so lonely. Oh. And I would like to pray for all that are lonely. Caregivers and people that do not know God, because it breaks the people that do love God, because we want them to love him with all their heart and they don't understand. And I just figure I just have to pray more. Why I thought I'd call.
Well, Maria, first of all, I want you to know that anyone that feels that way, you're not alone. I mean, I really believe we are a spiritual family here. I pray for you every day. I do every day. I look forward to these 3 hours we all get to spend together. I mean, it's such a special time. And this is the highlight where we can come together and pray for one another. You're not alone. We're going to pray for your mother, and we're going to pray for your job. You know, Padre Pio, the great stigmatic who did battle with Satan and more souls visited him than pilgrims ever did to his place in San Giovanni Rotondo, he said, the most beautiful creed that we pronounce, the most beautiful creed is the one that we pronounce in our hour of darkness. This is our opportunity to shine. You know, St. Rosa Lima, I prayed at her tomb. She was very famous for her sufferings. And she said, without the burden of affliction, it's impossible to reach the height of grace. And the gift of grace increases with the struggles that we have in life. As our struggles increase, so does the opportunity to tap into that grace. These are grace-filled opportunities for all of us. Let's pronounce, let's make our suffering and our cross our creed. Let's say to the Lord, we love you and we trust you. Lord, fill us with the grace that we need, and then we'll see the tangible results of these prayers. Lord, I give you Maria. I pray for turnabout. I pray for conversion for her family, and especially our own families, those that we love. I give you those who feel abandoned and alone right now, those who are in a moment of crisis. I bring them to the foot of the cross as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Temple City, California. Pam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
And happy anniversary of the Divine Chaplain.
Yay. Amen.
And I'd like to pray for my friend. I'm a caregiver to him. I'm blind, but I take care of all his medications and transportation and stuff and appointments, and I'd like to pray for him and his pain and his heart attack, and for my twin sister who has been suffering with depression for a year and a half, please. And I want to pray for you, Drew. Thank you.
You're so sweet, Pam. Thank you. I appreciate your prayers. I really do. And I have a special intention I'm praying for, so if you could pray for that, I'd appreciate it. And I'm going to pray for you now. Lord, I give you Pam. I give you anyone who's visually challenged, anyone who's lost vision recently. It's a major adjustment for people who lose it late in life. And I give you every one of those beautiful prayers that she brought forward for her friend for whom she's a caregiver. And Lord, I give you that mother right now contemplating terminating her child. I give you that person who is having these suicidal ideations. I give you the souls that are struggling with incredible depression or anxiety. I give you those suffering financially. I give you those who are unfaithful. I give you those who are battling impurity. Lord, I give you those who are struggling in so many ways. But I pray today in particular on the anniversary of this great feast, the Feast of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, that you hear everyone's prayers, all those who are crying out to you, read their hearts, and in a special way, manifest to them, Lord. Let them feel your presence. Let them see the change. Let them experience the miracles that you have in store for them. I thank you for the gift of this prayer, for the fruit that we have seen from it. Build our trust, embolden our faith. Please answer us as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
St. John Chrysostom,
pray for us.
And Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
All you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying with me. I will be praying for you. I promise you that a little later. And as God is answering those prayers, I know He is, please send me those answer prayers to drew@relevantradio.com. And if you're new to this prayer, I've got something in store for you. When we come back, I'll give you the story. I'll tell you what happened with St. Faustina. We'll tell you how this incredibly powerful prayer was given on this day in 1935. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I am here for you. I'm here every day. And I love being here for you. I do. You know, I love praying for you, too. I pray for you, gosh, multiple times throughout the day. I just ask you to do the same thing for me. If you just remember me, even just a short prayer, I'm such a believer in the power of it. I certainly need it. I was thinking about this. I was in adoration a little bit earlier today. I was just thinking about how much Satan hates what we do here every day. Not just Relevant in general. The fact that we are, you know, drawing souls to Christ, that we're bringing Christ to others through the media, that we're evangelizing and we're catechizing and we're bringing hope in a world of increasing darkness. Satan hates this work. But I'll tell you what he really hates, and he hates it with a passion. He hates this prayer. He hates that chaplet of divine mercy we pray every day. And you see the fruit of it. You really do. It's a prayer that God has given to St. Faustina. Today, if you're just joining me, it's the anniversary of this wonderful prayer. And I believe across the span of time, you know, in the early church, as you know, the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, they went out, they evangelized. And then they spread out, right? Their mission was to bring Christ to the world, right? Through the means that they had. They went to the Areopagus's of all the places they went to. They preached the word. St. James, who had the mission of evangelizing the Iberian Peninsula, it's modern-day Spain, had terrible problems there. And he was about to give up and head back. And I don't blame him, you know? It was a rough hoe. And the Virgin Mary appeared to him and told him, don't. Continue. Persist. And these will be a people who will hold the faith. And we know how vibrant the faith has been, you know, in that part of the world. Thanks to him, she appeared as Our Lady of Saragossa, Lady on top of the pillar. But God sends messengers. He sent prophets in the days of old. He sent the prophets in our own day, really, the Mother of God in particular. She's our spiritual mother. And from those early days, at the foot of the cross, when Christ publicly proclaimed her our mother, we've seen her across the centuries appearing in every habitable country, right, with an urgent message to return to her son. And so often she came at times that were very critical. You know, the Albigensian heresy was underway when St. Dominic received what? He received the rosary. That was a gift from heaven, right? The rosary, the power of that prayer to dispel heresy. It's one of the promises of it. We saw how it has defied military experts where atheistic communism departs part of the world where it never should. I really believe it was the rosary to help bring down the Iron Curtain. I really do. That was a prayer that was given to us, the scapular, another great gift, right, to Simon Stock. And I can go through and give you a whole list of things. But if you look at the role of Our Lady, that's heaven's gift to us, right? But he's also given us great saints, like Faustina, right? Or St. Dominic, right, who received the rosary. But with these saints, at critical times comes critical gifts. And I think the rosary is a weapon that I carry in my left hand, and the chaplet's a weapon I carry in my right hand. And I really believe that in one of the bloodiest centuries in human history, when we saw a power that was unbridled and unlike any other time, where we had the ability to destroy you know, civilizations, you know, the advent of the atomic bomb. We saw the culture of death spread like a like an infection through the world. It was sick. It's like a venom that's polluted atheistic communism. We've got the culture of death. We have this total rejection of God. What does heaven give to us? What's the one prayer that's given to us to hold back the hand of God, his justice? It's the chaplet of divine mercy. I really believe that. And Faustina, in an experience she had, vividly demonstrates that, because as you're going to hear in just a second from my next guests, Joan and Dave Maroney, one evening when Faustina, this humble, beautiful nun in this wonderful relationship with our Lord, you know, the resurrected Lord was appearing to her, she was given a vision of an angel, an executor of God's wrath. He was on a mission from God. He was an executor of God's wrath, she says. I wouldn't want to be in his crosshairs. Whatever city that he was going to destroy, there was nothing that was going to hold him back. But that's part of the origins of this prayer. You know, and you're going to hear the story of how the chaplet came about, how God in his mercy, how his heart is moved, his justice is mitigated through this incredible prayer. And it's such an honor to have with me friends who understand, who love, and who have been great champions of divine mercy. And they've been with me many times in the past. You can find them. They've got a website. It's divinemercyamerica.org. And Dave and Joan are wonderful. I've been at conferences where they have spoken. They travel around the country and spread great devotion to others regarding the divine mercy. They direct the Mother of Mercy Messengers, or MOM, and they hail from beautiful San Antonio, and they're here today to fill you in on what I think is a gift for our modern day and age, one that's needed, because I'm telling you right now, you think the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, those two cities, were bad? How much more deviant, how much more devious, how much more, you know, is this current generation owed the justice of God? Joan and Dave, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thanks for having us. Wonderful to be back.
Always good to have you. I really think that God gives us gifts throughout the centuries, you know, and there's Eucharistic miracles, there's the apparitions, there's the great saints. I think the chaplet was given, you know, in the advent of the 20th century because of the evils that soon loomed. And I think it's a prayer for our day and for our time, and we see the fruit of it all. But, you know, people pray with me every afternoon, not only around the country, but around the world. We have people joining us from Europe and South Africa and in Asia and all over. But a lot of people don't know the story to the chaplet. And on this day, the anniversary of the day that Jesus revealed this incredible prayer, that Faustina was given this prayer, I thought maybe it'd be nice to tell that story. So why don't I just put that ball in your court, and I'll let you fill everyone in on the backstory here of how the chaplet came to be.
Well, we're really happy to. I think it's a fabulous story. It is, and the timing of it. You know, you were talking about St. James and Our Lady of the Pillar of Pilar. That's coming up in October, and the Battle of Lepanto, where the Rosary, you know, Our Lady of Victory is coming up. And this, the times, yesterday was the Feast of our Name of Mary. Today is the 13th, and tomorrow is the 14th, the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, and which then the following day, September 15th, is Our Lady of Sorrows. So God's timing on this, on the monthly calendar, but also, as you said, you know, what was happening in the world in the 1930s. Dave, you want to talk about that real quick?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Well, the chaplet was given in 1935, September 13th, and so 86 years ago, and of course in the mid-30s, Hitler had already seized power in Germany, and the persecution of, you know, our Jewish brothers and sisters had begun. Of course, we know in Russia, Fatima, and then the Bolshevik Revolution, the horrors that went on there, the priests murdered, churches closed, and Faustina knew what was going on in these neighboring, you know, everybody in Poland knew what was going on in these neighboring countries.
So this is the backdrop, and so it was a Friday, September the 13th, which again it was the sixth, celebrating the sixth anniversary of I should have turned my phone off. that the sixth anniversary of the vision in Fatima. Anyway, but it's the vigil of the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, and that evening, Sister Faustina, as you mentioned, had a vision of an angel of wrath about to strike the world, a very vivid. She said that, you know, there were thunderbolts and lightning, and it was just horrific, and she was pleading with the angel, and he was ready to strike the world for its sinfulness, to appease the just anger of God, and in particular, a certain place. And so she was praying fervently, but she said that her prayers were a mere nothing in the face of the divine anger. And she pleaded, I think it's, well, it's not really funny, but she pleaded that the angel would hold off for the while and the world would do penance. Again, this was something else that was brought up at Fatima, you know, penance, penance, penance. And so, but she was then taken in the indwelling of the Holy Trinity, and she heard these words that she began to recite. And she said, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. Have mercy on us. An atonement for our, I'll offer you an atonement for our sins, and have mercy on us. And as she continued to say these prayers, the angel of wrath was made powerless. And so offering the body and blood of Jesus is what, it, you know, is what withheld the just hand of God. The next morning, on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, of course, she's going to Holy Mass. And so fittingly, as she's going to walk in the chapel, the Lord tells her, immediately upon entering the chapel, repeat that prayer I taught you yesterday. You will pray it like this, on the beads of the rosary, and you will start with the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the I Believe in God, and you will conclude, and then he added, have mercy on us and on the whole world. He added that part. And then at the end, the three times as we say, Holy God, you know, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us, which is an ancient incantation the Marian Fathers had told us. You know, that's an ancient prayer in the church.
Really?
And so, and he told her, this prayer will serve to appease my wrath. And how fitting, you know, that on the feast day, and the, you know, so we go the 13th, the 14th, because it was both days that he, you know, she first heard part of it, then the next day, but it's all tied to the Exaltation of the Cross. And this is when we are lifting up, each one of us, by virtue of our baptism, share in the priesthood of Christ. And so when we say this prayer, and it's, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity, we are, as the Marian Fathers and Father Seraphim Mykolenko especially would say, this is like an insertion into the Holy Mass. That's why this prayer is so powerful, because there's no other prayer higher than the Holy Mass. And that's what makes the chaplet, because now all of us are lifting up, you know, not just the priests, you know, all of us in our priesthood are offering the sacrifice of Christ to the Heavenly Father. And when he looks upon the earth, it says in the diary sometimes, you know, instead of seeing our sinfulness, he sees the sacrifice of his Son. And this is what mm-hmm. mitigates his anger and appeases his wrath.
So there's a question that comes up from people a lot regarding the prayer itself. And they're like, you know, how can we offer Jesus to the Father? Maybe you can explain that. How does an individual say, for the sake of his heart of passion, have mercy on us? Well, how's it go? Let me back that up. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's the line I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, what gives us the right to do that?
Well, it is striking, and it can take you aback, when you realize perhaps what you're saying. We've met, I remember meeting a gentleman, and he was just, he said, I can't say it, because who am I to offer the body of our Lord Jesus to his Father? And he was just struck with humility and felt like he couldn't say it, you know. And but my thought on that is that, well, then out of obedience, you know, Jesus specifically gave this prayer to Saint Faustina, you know, to be shared with the world. And so and it's you know, through our baptism, we all share, have a part to share in the royal priesthood of Jesus. Now, if you become a priest, then you are ordained. You're an ordained minister And so you can say the Mass at a much higher level, but we all participate in the kingship of Jesus, and so that allows us to say this prayer.
And I think it's important to note, because when you really think about it and you really think about what you're doing, and some people did, like you said, Drew, you get the questions, you know, how can I do this? But many times we're praying the chaplet and we're just kind of rattling off the words, right? For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. We're singing, you know. But if you really think about what you're doing and you pray with the heart, you know, that's, I think, what really makes it so powerful and beautiful, and that's why it's important to understand what this prayer, what you're saying, what you're doing when you take your 8 or your 10 minutes out of your day, you know, to recite the chaplet, to pray the chaplet of mercy, and because we are lifting up. And yep. I think it's really beautiful how we also pray it on the rosary.
Right, right.
You know, why? But to me, you know, they say when you're praying with the rosary, when you have that in your hand, it's like holding on to the hands of the Blessed Mother. Beautiful image, right? We're praying along with her. Well, she was there at the foot of the cross. She was the one, the first with John, and you're offering up the body, blood, soul, and divinity. Right. So by latching onto that rosary and praying that prayer on the rosary, amen, we are praying it with Our Lady as well.
Well, and let me do this. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, let's pick it up. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more. I only have Dave and Joan Maroney for just a few minutes in the next segment, but if you want to get in, you've got a question regarding the chaplet, or you want to share your experience with it, we'll talk some miracles too. There's a lot of promises that the Lord gave to those who will pray this prayer. You heard a little bit of the backstory of how St. Faustina was given this. It's an incredible Trinitarian experience. Come back, I'll tell you some of the promises the Lord's attached to it as well.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. It's the anniversary of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, one of my favorite prayers. As I said, you know, we have as Catholics such wonderful treasures. I love this prayer. I prayed the rosary. The rosary, I credit to my father's conversion. My mother prayed that nonstop. It's such an incredible gift. Padre Pio used to call the rosary his weapon. He'd say to his friars, "Give me my weapon." Right? I love that. I see this as a gift for our time. If you're just joining us, the chaplet was given on September 13th, 1935. It was the Feast of the Triumph of the Cross, as my guests were pointing out. And Faustina has this incredible vision. She saw this angel coming to destroy a city. And nothing she prayed worked. You know, nothing mitigated this mission that God sent it on. And God was so moved by her prayers, though, you know, she found herself having this Trinitarian experience, right? She was caught up, she said, in the majesty of God. It cut her heart, she said. She didn't even dare to repeat her entreaty at that point in time, but she felt in her soul the power of God's grace. And she had those beautiful words that we pray, you know, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and, you know, for our sins and the sins of, well, for our sins and the sins of the whole world came a little bit later, or I should say, for the sake of the sorrowful passion, have mercy on us. The Lord, the next day when she went into chapel, told her to add the words, you know, and on the whole world. So the Lord himself, you know, wanted these prayers prayed. He gave promises to St. Faustina. He gave promises of conversion. He gave promises for the sick and dying. He gave promises of miracles that would unfold, because really God's heart is moved by this. And my guests Dave and Joan Maroney and I were talking during the break, and Dave, we were talking a little bit. One of the big promises everybody knows is that this is a prayer for the dying. I mean, Faustina would bilocate to the bedside of the dying. She'd leave her room and, you know, through the grace of God, and find herself next to somebody whose soul was at a critical moment, and the chaplet would bring them peace. Their souls, the Lord said, certain souls will be saved as a result of these particular prayers. Your own experience with that, and some of the promises, maybe we could pick it up on that point. For those who pray this prayer, what did the Lord promise?
Well, in 1999, you know, we took to the road with the Divine Mercy message, and have spent a good amount of time in these 20-plus years traveling to parishes and schools presenting the message, and we would do an evening program for about an hour, and then we'd transition into a holy hour exposition, usually, you know, with the pastor and our deacon, and then we would have some prayer time and pray the chaplet. And after the presentation, you know, we'd have a book table and people would be chatting and coming, but there would always be someone that would come up and say, "I have to tell you my story about praying the chaplet as my, you know, insert mother or father, child, you know, on and on and on, cousin, whatever, whoever." As they were dying, we prayed the chaplet, and we would just listen. You know, you would listen a lot to these stories. Mm-hmm. And you know, one time we were on the road somewhere and been out for a couple of months, and I looked at Joan and I said, "You know, how many of these stories have we heard?" It was like constant. These stories of people, and their face would be aglow. You know, my mother was. She was very upset and afraid to die, and we started to pray the chaplet. She calmed down,
wow.
and if, you know, if I had a nickel every time somebody said, and they took their last breath,
wow,
as we finished the chaplet. And they say that knowing that that's the promise, that Jesus will be there, not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. So it takes
Amen.
That time that can be very difficult when a loved one is passing away, and it fills it with hope. And
nice.
I have another story that I just thought about, and it's because a lot of people are familiar with the dying, but there was a family, young girls, very bright. One of the sisters had gotten involved in witchcraft. She had gotten into Wicca. She at first thought it was just fun, and she was kind of doing spells, and everybody at work was coming to her, and she was getting deeper and deeper in this, and her sister and her mother and her grandparents started praying for her. And one day we were out there, we were out in California, and this was all going on around this time, but she came to our program. They invited her to our program, and she and her sister sat in the front row. And we prayed the chaplet. And later on when we went to her mom's house, they told us that what had recently happened was they had been praying for her, and one day she came down and said, "Here, I want to throw all these books away." And she brought all her, quote, witchcraft books.
Wow.
And they burned them in the fireplace.
Wow.
And the girl didn't know what was going on. And then they remembered, well, what had happened. She came to them to Mass one day. She had always been real involved in church, but then as she got more and more into this witchcraft, she didn't want to talk about God. If they would talk about God or pray, she would go up and go in another room. But one day she went to Mass, and after Mass, they prayed the chaplet.
Wow.
Okay? Then right after that, now I'm remembering the story more accurately, she, got rid of her books and then said she wasn't going to be doing the witchcraft anymore. A few days later, we're there. Now she hears the whole Divine Mercy story, and we're back at her parents' house. She says, "You know what?" You could see her thinking. She goes, "I remember now, that prayer we prayed after your program,
yep,
that's the one we prayed after Mass last week."
Wow.
And they're like, "Yes." And she goes, "You know, now that I'm thinking about it, with every bead of that prayer, I felt like my life was being changed."
Wow. That's the power of it.
Yeah, and she never went back, and she was now working with the
conversion
youth group, you know, teaching the kids.
Well, let me do this, Joan, Dave. I love those stories. I only have a couple minutes. I want to get Camilo on. He's listening in Chicago, has an experience with the chaplet as well. Camilo, welcome.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My dad was in the hospital. He was in a coma. They had given him a couple of days to pass away, and I was spending the night. And my brother had just left. And my daughter was bringing me dinner, and as I get up to go get dinner, I see my dad struggling to breathe. So I called the nurse in, and they said that, you know, everything was declining.
Right.
So I started praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet by myself until the rest of the family came in. I called my brother. I had finished the one by myself. The rest of the family got there. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So we started praying the chaplet together. And as I said the last, "For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world," he took his last breath and passed away.
Oh.
Him and my mom prayed it every day until she passed away first, and then him.
How beautiful.
And I, you know, I also called you a couple of years back because my son had a brain tumor.
Right.
And it had, the first one was benign, and the second one, it came back again, and it was also benign. And I had called in for prayers, and here's my answer.
I love it. Camilo, God bless you, brother. I am so glad you called. I love your love of the chaplet, and especially love those beautiful prayers. You know, Dave, Joan, I want to thank you for being here, too. Those who pray the chaplet, the Lord promised, you know, at the hour of our death, he would not come as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior, and it is such a comfort. I'm grateful for both of you. I only have about 30 seconds left. If people want to follow or bring you in to their parish or hear you talk, what's the best way to connect to him?
DivineMercyForAmerica.org. Click on the membership tab and fill out the form, and we send out emails for different novenas, and we're right in the middle of a 54-day rosary novena for our nation.
All right, as well.
So,
keep up your good work. Joan, thank you, too. I'm grateful for you being here as well. You both, I feel like you're kindred spirits. I've got to leave it right there.
Thank you, Drew.
God bless you, Drew.
God bless you.
Take care. Thanks.
I'll be back on the other side. Stay with me.